Milan, so welcome back to my channel again. So here we are almost 15 months into Putin's illegal war of unprovoked aggression against Ukraine, and obviously there's been not so gladsome tidings from a Russian perspective recently when the United Kingdom gifted Storm Shadow missiles to the Ukrainians. They've got a range of up to 300 kilometers. I'm told that reliably it's more like 250 kilometers. So all the illegally occupied areas of Ukraine are well within range, and obviously they can hit to quite deep into Russia, which somewhat begs the questions, why did you give them such long-range weapons if it's on the explicit promise that they won't strike into Russian territory, what's actually the Russian Federation, not illegally occupied territory that the Russians are holding at the moment. But maybe London is saying that despite not actually believing and says sotto voce, okay, you can actually strike deep into Russia, we don't care. But just for the sake of public relations, we have to pretend that we're opposed to you doing that, because the temptation to do it might be irresistible. So far, the Ukrainians have honored their pledge not to use some of these Western supplied weapons, which came with strings attached, with the caveat not to be used in the Russian Federation, only against Russian forces illegally occupying Ukraine. So the war continues, and President Zelensky, of course, paid a surprise visit to the United Kingdom today after his trip to the Vatican City, to Rome, to where was it, Paris, I think to Berlin. So he flew to the United Kingdom, and landed, and I think it was that Air Force base in London, and then took a helicopter to Chequers. That's the Prime Minister's country retreat in Buckinghamshire, just northwest of London, that Viscount Lee of Fareham gifted to the nation his will in 1922, when he realised Prime Ministers may not be aristocrats in future and might not have a country seat. So he's met there by Prime Minister Rishi Sunak, who gave him an ecstatic bear hug. And there's more talk, will these typhoon fighter jets be granted to the Ukrainians? Gratis, of course. Apparently, they're not the most suitable sort of aircraft for them, because they're not mainly designed for bombing ground targets. It's mostly aerial combat. They can hit ground targets, but obviously, they're far better than nothing. They've been pleading for these Western jets for months. So the UK started off with the Storm Shadow missiles. No one else has given the Ukrainians such long-range missiles. So it's a real headache for the Ruskies, because now they're going to have to put their ammunition dumps, their command posts, way further back and be much less effective. They're going to take much longer and much more fuel to move things from the ammunition dump to the front. Now would have had to move this far anyway. Well, they're now going to have to sort of waste some time and fuel moving them back out of range. And yeah, it's just going to take much longer for things to arrive, and they'll be running out of ammunition. Remember, it's very ammunition intensive, their style of warfare, especially if these are often very imprecise munitions that they're using. So they have to use at least 5 of 1 the Ukrainians are using because of their inaccuracy. So anyway, the Ukrainians are actually doing very well around Bakhmut. But the point is that Ukrainians have struck inside Russia several times, and they claim it's not them. 2 Russian helicopters crashed, 2 Russian military planes crashed the other day in the Bryansk region, and the Ukrainians now saying nothing to do with us or other things. People killed inside Russia, and Zelensky explicitly disowns it. Now, that might be what's called a lie, just like it's been leaked from the United States that Russian spy plane that blew up on the runway in Belarus, put down to the Belarusian opposition, that really that was a blind. In fact, it's the Ukrainian special forces. Of course, Uncle Sam might be deliberately leaking a falsehood to throw us off the scent, or it might have been the Americans really believed it. In fact, they're wrong. But I suspect the United States knows what he's doing in this one, and the Ukrainians may have even told them. And that would have been too much of a sophisticated caper for the Belarusian opposition to pull off, managing to take out a plane in a heavily guarded airbase in Belarus, which is sort of effectively, you know, Russian territory. Another interesting thing is how President Lukashenko has been rushed to hospital and is indisposed. Now, normally what he says or does is the leading item of the news. He's the guy who has ruled Belarus with an iron fist for 29 years now. And how old is he? 68 years of age. And is he going to suddenly die? What'll happen? Obviously, Putin would like to replace him with someone who's acceptable to the Ukrainian people, who has also got acceptability in the eyes of Putin himself, and ideally not too offensive to the Western world, as in might loosen sanctions. I think it's impossible to find someone who leads all three groups. Obviously, primarily is someone who's going to be a Putin stooge. That's what he wants, just a marionette. But could this be a golden opportunity for the Belarusian opposition? Svetlana Tsikhanouskaya, who won the 2020 election, is in exile in, is it Latvia, Lithuania, I remember. Could she come back as president? I don't see it happening, actually. I think it'd be another apparatchik. Good, though, it would be for them to be freed. So why do the Ukrainians strike into Russia? Well, obviously, then you make your enemy pay a price. There are vulnerable targets. They have high valuable targets, able to kill enemy soldiers, blow up enemy equipment, and sometimes just blow up their logistics. But they seem to have done very little of that, blowing up bridges, even potholes and roads. That's something to slow them down, because there's some vital arterial routes for bringing munitions and troops forward, even food, or indeed evacuating wounded or prisoners of war or anything. And then they have to guard roads and bridges. And I'm astonished they've done so little of this. So to bring the war home to the enemy, made them pay a very heavy price. They eventually say, just we can't take it. But it could also tie down loads of troops patrolling these places, guarding certain bridges 24/7. And it's been sort of an open goal, and they haven't done it. But they're denying it partly because they think, well, then that would play into Putin's story, like claiming, oh, we're defending our homeland. Well, the Ukrainians only started counterattacking once you invaded their country. For years, there was a lot of forbearance. Well, frankly, the Ukrainians didn't want to up the ante. They didn't really have the capability to do so. But now, yeah, they do counterstrike from time to time. That Putin might be tempted to say Belarus has to join the war. Lukashenko might reluctantly go along with it. Putin might declare war. Well, what difference would that mean, considering they've been at war for, in a sense, 9 years now? It might lead to a general mobilization. But Putin is really reluctant to do that because he knows how unpopular it is. If he'd bitten the bullet at right at the beginning, that might have been acceptable. But then what was the point when it's going to be a 48-hour campaign? And now we've gone for a year and a half, and people are shrugging off the war's almost normal. A little bit of war weariness is setting in. It'd be even more unpopular. So he's trying to, conscript or get to at least volunteer the socially marginalized ethnic minority people, poverty-stricken people, people in the isolated regions. And succeeding with that somewhat. Guest workers from Central Asia, like Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, and so forth, people from prison joining Wagner Group. But if there was a general call up, there'd be far more troops. That wouldn't make that much of a difference because the Russian army just doesn't have the capacity to train them, to arm them. And those who were sent forward in the front the last few months, they had bits and bobs of equipment, a helmet, but not the right boots, or vice versa. You know, sometimes civilian trousers if they had a military jacket. And the equipment they were given had often been in storage for decades, was in very poor condition. Likewise, they've not maintained a lot of their equipment, their trucks even. So they wouldn't be as effective fighting force as you think, but that's better than nothing. And that mobilization last September, that in a sense did save the Russians from being driven back. So the Ukrainians are fighting at Bakhmut and seem to have gained ground. Even Yevgeny Prigozhin has said that. He's the head of Wagner Group, the private military company. The thing that surprises me is that he's saying all this stuff, but is he therefore authorized to say it? Was there some sort of purpose? It seemed to be a blind previously, about a week ago, saying he was going to pull out if he didn't get sufficient ammunition. Would you think that would then to gull the Ukrainians into trying to advance when actually they weren't withdrawing at all, and that he appeared to change his mind over the weekend, and now he says the flags are giving way, people are running for their lives, Sovkipur, and the devil take the hindmost. But he openly lacerated Gerasimov and Shoigu, you know, the chief of general staff and the defense minister, respectively. So such open disdain and hostility, I thought was surprising, spoke of some authenticity. It's quite convincing otherwise. All those corpses, were they real that he was speaking in front of? I suspect they were, actually. Just nothing would surprise me in his case. So so heavily defended Bakhmut, the Russians, I suppose, I thought that was kind of a foolish place to try and attack. But maybe that's the last thing they're expecting, why it's the Ukrainians have had some success there. Is it a decoy before the real spring offensive? I think it is. Most of the pundits say the Ukrainians will stab down towards the Sea of Azov, break the land bridge. That is an achievable goal. Oh, they can't take Crimea, everybody says. And I agree, actually. But then again, we have repeatedly overestimated the Russian military. It's always a lot worse than anybody thinks. So I hope I've shed a bit of light on what Ukraine is trying to achieve by attacking into Russia and why they will not acknowledge that it's there, that they're the ones who are doing it. Okay, goodbye.